This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We had a wonderful, 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 wonderful weekend last weekend, ladies, and some of you men, where we attended our men's camp, our yearly or annual men's camp, and it was just such a precious time in the Lord's presence. And I was sitting there at the back the last Sunday or the Sunday, and Anton was ministering, and I've had so many ways that God would speak to me, but this very day I was just sitting there at the back just listening, and I was listening, God was stirring. I don't know, I guess if you're pastor, you always think of a sermon, huh? I don't know, it's a lot of times, it's just there, you think about, wow, this is powerful. So anyway, I sat there at the back, and the Lord started ministering to me about the us. Okay, just U.S., our moments, us, the power of us moments. Okay, that sounds strange, but just bear with me, because I sat there, and it's kind of a thing that I want to bring across here this moment, in the power of when we come together, when there's something that's taking place here. And I've shared a lot of times on the power of family, or some family concepts, church, etc., which is really stuff that I love, but I sat there at the back, and then the Lord started ministering to me in this area, and I realized, you know, how beautiful it is when we come together, especially over this weekend when we're together. There's men this morning as well. And I thought about the scripture in Exodus 3, verse 16, when the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, can we just maybe get it up there? Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appear to me, saying, I've surely visited you and seen what has done to you in Egypt. Now, this is God speaking to Moses here. And as I've said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. By the way, just that last part, that's a main reason that God took Israel out of Egypt, so that we can sacrifice and honor God. Not just to deliver him, so that we can worship God. Deliver my people so that we can worship God. Okay? But anyway, here's the thing what's happening here. Let me just show you. God meets with Moses. He meets with the individual. And he says, Moses, listen, I've heard your cry of your people. But Moses, you can't do this alone. Moses, I'm going to send you back to your people, to the leaders. Speak to them. And when you speak to them, I'm going to come in the midst of that, and I'm going to create an us moment. So that I will stir their hearts. I will move their hearts so that they know it's me speaking and it's not you speaking. So the amazing thing that's taking place when we come together sometimes, it's not a Yaku thing. It's not a pastor thing. It's not a leader thing. It's an us thing here. You see, when God speaks to us, when we come together, there's an beauty here. There's an amount of God's presence. I've often said that, and I would refer to that in Ephesians 4, that God has reserved a certain amount of his presence and who he is for us here, that you would unfortunately not get at home. Okay, that's the good news. Don't stay at home. Okay, because there's something in the us. There's something in the beauty of God in her, God in her, God in him, God in her. And then it comes together and it's something beautiful. An us moment. God says, I will speak to the individual, but always in the context of the big group. Because we are never isolated from family. God has always intended for us to be part of a family so that I can do something bigger with us. See, there's an commitment, there's a vision, there's a cause, there's something that God has given us that brings us together. It's not a vision sermon this morning. It's just whenever God's presence, then there's something, there's a reason why we are here this morning, to sense his presence, to come to that place. So there's a story in scripture here this morning in 1 Samuel 30, if you want to page with me to that. 1 Samuel 30, I'll give you some background before we read. From verse 4 to 10, it's about David and his mighty men. So what happens is David, the whole history, David gets anointed as king. We know the story that David is being chased by Saul. David, all David wants is just a father. All he wants is just acceptance. All he wants is just acknowledge me. He didn't choose to be anointed. God gave Samuel the, the commandment to go and anoint David. Then Saul becomes jealous and Saul starts hunting David down. So when David starts fleeing, he gathers some men, mighty men around him, men that were like-minded, and they start running away from Saul, and then eventually they ran to the Philistines. Okay, so now he found some form of acquaintances there with his Philistine people. But then after a while, I mean, he had some form of acceptance there. Then the Philistine leader says, listen, we're afraid you're going to turn around against us. So you better go. The king doesn't want him. The enemy doesn't want him. Did you think you had a bad day? Say, just tap somebody next to you and tell him it's going to get better today. Okay. Rejection 101. Okay. It's going to get worse. Now, this story is telling us that David, after the Philistine people rejected him, they went home with his buddies, with his mighty men. And when they get home, it's even worse. They found in the city where their people lived that the Amalekite people of the Amalekites came. They burned down the city. They took all their wives, all their possessions, all the animals, everything. And it's just chaos. Now there's nothing. What have I got, Lord? I've lost everything. They don't want me. They don't want me. And I come back to this. I'm just doing what you called me to do. Look at this. Verse 4. So they come together there. They are shocked by what they see. Huh? And in verse 4 is a prophetic scripture about the men's camp of last weekend. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Okay. That's what took place at our men's camp. Some men will laugh because they knew that's what took place. We wept till we couldn't do that anymore. But it's just the power and the presence of God. I'm just joking, but still happens till this day. That God's presence is sometimes so powerful that you just have to. I don't know, have to, but you just can't contain it. Okay? Anyway, so I love the scripture. Actually, verse, and David two, not the next one, sorry, not David's two wives. Let me read that as well. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Ha! Rejection number 3. The king doesn't want me. The Philistine people do not want me. And my buddies that I had with me, they do not want me either. Did you think that you are alone? Maybe you should read the Psalms a little bit. Maybe you should just sit down and just see, whoa, David, how did you deal with this one? Huh? Have you ever been in that place that nobody wants you? I've not been at that place, fortunately. I can say that. I've always had a father or a mother or a wife or somebody else that loves you. Or people here in this audience this morning that loves me, that loves you. But David experienced some form of rejection. And then this verse, highlight that in your Bible, because you probably have to apply that some other time. Verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When it's all said and done and nobody wants you, strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, all these names. Forgive me. The son, please bring the effort here to me. And Abiathar brought the effort to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men, listen, 600 were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those stayed who were left behind. Okay? But David pursued, he and 400. They started with 600. They came to the brook, and only 400, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Bezer. So what happens, I'll tell you a story. So they ran after the enemy. They found the Egyptian man, and they corner him and say, listen, we're going to look at, okay? Make him talk. It's like they do in the movies, okay? This back then. Already. And the guy is afraid. He says, listen, I'll tell you where they are. And then they chase after the people. And then if we can pick it up from verse 16. So they found him. And when he had brought him down, there they were. This is the enemy. Spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing. That was also the men's camp. Okay. The eating and drinking. I don't know about the dancing. Because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. I just wondered, you know, there were 400 people and 400 escaped. They fought all night. How many were there? And we think one and one. It's a different battle. If 400 escaped, how many were left for them to fight all night? Well, they were very tough. Huh? To fight all night to kill just maybe one or two. I don't know. I think there were a lot. Anyway, then David attacked him from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all of that. Okay? Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, "This is David's spoil." Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they had also made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. So when they go back, they find 200 men that stayed behind. Listen to this verse. Then all the wicked and worthless men, I mean, love how the Bible describes. Even in those 400, there were wicked and worthless ones. That says, listen, this is just our spoil. Stuff them. They've not been to the battle. This is what he says. Will not give to them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But then there's a but in the sentence is changing. But David said, "My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved and delivered us into the hand of the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike," underline that, "share alike. So it was that from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day." Okay, so here's the story. I want to say quickly, but I want to lead you into three things I see in the story when there's an us moment, when God leads us in an us moment. First of all, the men came back after they've been rejected by the Philistine people. They get to the town, and then all of them, the Bible says, all of their wives and children were taken captive. They had a common interest here. They had a common place. My wife is gone. Your wife is gone. My children is gone. Your children is gone. We've all got one problem here. Our families are gone, and our livestock, and our everything. Can you imagine that if one man stood up there and said, "Listen, I'm going to go after them," do you think they would have made a success? No. I don't think so. I think God deliberately led them to that place of common ground, as he would do with us often in that us moments, to lead us to a place of common ground, whether it's our passions, whether it's something that's stirring inside of our hearts that we would speak to one another. Sometimes God would just put something in your heart and you're just so excited, you just can't contain yourself. So you speak to somebody, and somebody would say, "Wow, man, God has been speaking to me about this for such a while." And now you start stirring one another and you're building the faith inside of each other. Because God has reserved a certain amount of his presence, a certain amount of that vision, a certain amount of that deposit is there. It's here, but we come together on common ground and now we stir one another. Sometimes it's the other way around, as in the case with David and them. Sometimes it's a holy discontentment that brings us together. We would encounter certain things in life. We would see the pain and brokenness of this life. And then it would move us, if the Spirit of God is just stirring there inside of us, if we allow him to yield to that, or you yield to the Spirit of God, that we would move together and say, "It cannot be like this. We need to do something about that." See, God leads us to common places or common ground so that we can come to a place of unity. Amen? And it's a unity deeper than an amen this morning. And I love when you say amen. By the way, don't stop doing that. Okay. When we say amen, when we say hallelujah, when we agree on that, we say it will be done. We witness that. We say to one another. It's not just a noisy church. It's not just somebody that sits here and think, you probably think, "Wow, what's happening in this church?" No. You say, "Let it be. I agree with that. I witness with that. That's something inside of my spirit that speaks to me." When you speak, the Spirit of God inside of me and the Spirit of God inside of you connect, and we say, "Let it be." But there's a deeper form of unity when I believe when God brings us together in common ground. It's not just when our spirit or our words, when we agree with our words, but when our spirits connect. That is the deeper level of unity. And we know, listen, we've got common stuff here. We're on common ground. We got to lock. We got to stand side by side. I said in the first service, we never called. Sometimes we're not going to see eye to eye. But that's okay. That's okay. God has placed some uniqueness in you and uniqueness in me and uniqueness. And sometimes we look at it a little bit different, but we are mature. We're supposed to be mature enough to say, listen, I might not see eye to eye, but I'm called to stand side by side on this common ground. Your wife is not as beautiful as mine, and you would disagree with me, but it's my wife and it's your wife, but we have a problem here. We need to go and fetch them. You can say amen on that one. You wouldn't agree with me, no? I'm joking. Okay. Relax. So God is bringing us to that place of common ground. Psalm 133, when God says, how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together. And he compares that with Aaron's beard and when the oil runs down that. He commands his blessing. And I believe it's a place where God wants to bring us, that we are not just looking at the blessing that we receive in terms of what can we get out of this if we're in unity. But it's more than that. It's what can we accomplish when we get to that place of absolute unity. Think about the Tower of Babel. Just remember. I mean, God knew when people were in such absolute unity. Listen, I need to come down. They're busy with nonsense there. But they're in unity. At least they get something here. And I'm gonna stop that now. If the church gets to the place of locking shields and saying we're standing side by side with such and force, Jesus knew in Luke 10 when he sent out his disciples, listen guys, you can't go out one by one here. I'm gonna send you out two by two. We can talk about accountability, we can talk about a lot of other things, but I think God knew certain assignments are not for the individual, but it's for the group. The men of David couldn't do that individually. They couldn't go there and fetch the. But they needed, they had to combine their strength. They had to say together, Yaku cannot build a church. Herbert cannot build a church. Manfred cannot build a church. And we can carry on and on. But we can build a church. Amen. There's an us moment. There's a God moment. There's God says, I'm in the middle of this. You just come together. I will be the glue. I'll be the ones that stir your hearts. I will be the ones. And then we accomplish that. I believe it with all of my heart this morning. That God has created those us moments, that we are in that place that we need to say to one another. It's an us moment. It's an us moment where we look at our giant. And we're probably going to do that next week. I don't want to tell you ahead. But the other day I was just worshiping. And the next thing, this song that we sang so many times, Raise a Hallelujah. I saw us singing that over that giant of our church building. Because it's a giant. But it's not me. And it's not you. But it's us with God in our midst that says, you can do it. Go and take it. See, in 1 Samuel 3, 8 to 10, it says that David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue them? And the Lord said, yes, you can go. So David took his 600 men. They went after them up to the brook. And then 200 stayed behind because they were too wary. So common ground would lead us to common battles. We need to transition not just from having a pity party. Can you imagine if they just sat there? They all had something in common. They couldn't deny that, well, we've lost it all. So we can just sit there and feel sorry for ourselves. But I thank for verse 6 there where David strengthened himself in the Lord and then some other time pick up your head and say, we're going to go to the war. We're going to go to the battle. You know, we can look at this town. We can look at the church building. We can look at this nation. We can tell ourselves it's not possible. It's not possible to go and preach the gospel and try and save this town. Or we can sit down, strengthen ourselves in the Lord, pick up our heads and say, we're going to go to war. And God has not given this to all of us as one church. But can you imagine if all the churches just say, we're going to go to war? Rather than just sitting there, oh, we wait. Maybe somebody, miracle will take place. The Americans will come in. They will go and send their snipers in. They will go and bring our wives. No. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to go and fetch what the enemy has stolen from us. There are two parties in this. Listen, this story is a type of Christ to come. Because David is a type of Christ in Scripture. So here's the thing. This whole story and the people involved, there were two parties involved. The ones that were taken captive that represents in the New Testament the lost, those that are taken captive. And then there are also those that grew weary. So here's the thing which I sense the Lord is saying to us this morning. There are two levels of maturity that we need to grow through. The first level that we need to grow through is to get to that place of common ground, to realize we are called to a common battle and that we need to sign up for the war. Sorry, brother. Okay, I get excited. To sign up for the war for the lost. We can't sit here and say, you know what, they wait for the better day till my knife is sharp or my sword is sharp. Or somebody will sharpen my sword. Or I will have a few bullets tomorrow. Use what you have right now. You're ready to go to war. The day when Christ saved you and me, we were ready to go to war. He might not ask you to fight the big ones, but you can fight the battle already. You've got enough of Christ inside of you the moment you encounter Him to talk about Him. So God calls us to a common place. You know, when we sign up for war, we're not just signing up for a battle for ourselves, but we sign up for a battle for somebody else's sake as well. And a no to God is not just a loss to me, but it's a loss to somebody else as well. When God calls us to a common battle and say, you're together so much stronger. But then there's a second level of maturity that God wants to take us through. Sometimes we go into the war, and there are brothers and sisters next to us that grow weary. Nothing wrong with that. It happened to me, and it probably will happen to me in future, because I need to strengthen myself continuously in the Lord. I spoke about that on Sunday, no, last week, about going in and coming out. I wish I can preach that sermon here as well, but the men wouldn't allow me because I've already shared that. But it's about this concept about going into the presence of God, strengthen yourself, refresh, repent, celebrate, come out and go to war again. That's all it's about. All the mighty men of God, Moses, Joshua, all of them, and I'm going down that line. Anyway, they all figured out something to go in and to come out, to go in and come out, go into the presence of God, come out of the presence of God, and go out into war. God has called all of us that. Not just to be here on a Sunday and get into the presence, get into the presence, get into the presence. Just get out of the presence for a while. Because if you can't get into the presence, you have got nothing to go out with. We don't walk away from the presence of God. We go out with the presence of God. But when we go into the presence of God, we've got something to go out with. So what we're supposed to do here on a Sunday morning is come into the presence of God, equip ourselves, filled with the presence of God, and I'm going to war. See you next Sunday. Going to take a few down. Willibald, take a few out this week. Fill your rifle, man. Fill, sharpen your sword. Take a few out for the kingdom of God. The enemy must think in the morning, oh, he's awake. There's a problem. We've got trouble. He's on his way. I honor God. I honor God for people that are so filled with faith and say, listen, we're not going to hold back. We're just going to go for it. Sorry, I'm getting excited. No, anyway. So we grow the second level of maturity where God says, when we start fighting on behalf of those who are weak, sometimes our brothers and we grow weak. And then God says, listen, let them just rest for a while. Don't reject them. Let them just wait there. But now you're going to fight a little bit harder. You're going to pray for them. You're going to stand in the gap for them. And I think that's one of the most mature levels when we can get and realize somebody's suffering here. I need to stand in here. I need to stand side by side because the enemy will take him out. Because if I don't do that, somebody's going to take him out. That is deep, my people. And I'm saying to you this morning, not because I'm preaching it, that God is calling us sometimes to that side. Stand next to that brother. Continue interceding. Continue fasting, as Freddie shared, so that we can all win. Amen. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. Luke 9:51 says he set his mind or his face as flint towards Jerusalem because Jesus knew that I need to go to Jerusalem to accomplish what they've asked, what the Father sent me to do. So he set his mind upon Jerusalem as flint, as stone, hard-headed. Jesus was a rose. No, I'm just joking. Okay, Jesus was everything. He wasn't just. No, what I'm saying with this is Jesus was determined to do what he wanted to do. He is everything. He's not just one. He's the whole perfect. I'm just saying that's an aspect. Forget about what I said there. Some of you will understand. It's about the determination to do what God has called him to do. And he set his mind towards that and said, I will do that for the sake of those that come after me. To win the war. See, Christ is fighting for us. He's fighting for me and you. Sometimes we grow weak. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that when the Lord speaks to Paul, he says, listen, when you are weak, my grace is sufficient for you. Relax. Rely upon my grace more than ever before. And when you regain your strength, just get back into war. Thought about Jesus, the perfect solution, the perfect, we're just human beings. every other person in Scripture is just another human being. But Christ is the ultimate example at the epic of it all when they're in Gethsemane, when they're down there on their knees and they says to his disciples, listen, you guys, you need to pray with me. This is crunch time now. We're in war now. It's about to happen now. And then they fall asleep like I would have done. went to bed last night too late, Lord. You don't understand. We're just human beings, Lord. You're expecting too much of us. That's okay, Peter. That's okay, John. Sleep. Not sarcastic, but I'll fight for you. Because he's the perfect one. Amen. We are not. But he's called us to follow his example. You can sleep, take a rest. I mean, he spoke to them. But Christ endured to the end because Christ knew, if I fall asleep right now as well, if I don't do that, those that come after me, the win that what I'm about to do now is a win-win for those that come after me. Thank God this morning that he didn't fall asleep and that he went all the way through to the end. That he fought for you, that he fought for me, that he saw us in our weakness, that he saw us in future. He saw us in this day, in 2019, sitting here and you. It's for you that I fought. Amen. And he's calling you to the war, to that common battle to fight with him. 1 Samuel 13, verse 23 and 25, and it's the last point I want to bring across here. But David said, now this is after they fought all night, chased them away, 400 ran away. The Bangbrooker, they ran away. Okay. I mean, I love David. He's a worshiper and he's a warrior. I mean, sometimes we just can't bring the two together. But he's a worshiper and a warrior. He knew where to find his strength, but he was so determined to do what God has called him to do. And anyway, so David says, the Bible says, my brethren, this is now after they came back. After all those wicked men said, listen, these guys that stayed behind, they get nothing. Just give them their wives and children, and we take the rest. This is just fair. And then David says, no, brothers, it doesn't work like this. Listen to this. And this is so important here, people, that we understand. Because when it says he made it an ordinance and a statue from that day forward, it speaks into the future, into our future, which speaks about the work of the cross, the work of what Christ came to do. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand, the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statue and an ordinance from Israel to this day. I want you to think about what Christ did. We share alike this morning because of the work of Christ. All the day continues into the future. Once off, he did it. And we continue to share. Now that principle is amazing, how that principle still applies to this day. We've been in our men's camp over this weekend. And on Saturday night, you know, I'm leaving the session at the end. And they're busy praying there. Anton ministered and in groups there. And I ran out of the building just to quickly to add some wood to my fire there. Okay, a very unspiritual thing, just a normal thing, okay? But God can use such a normal thing like just putting wood on the fire to set you up for a meeting. I've seen that. You just drive by at certain place at certain time. Because why? Because the Spirit of God wants you there at that time. Okay, so that was one of those moments. And probably one of my, say, favorite moments in ministry. Many more to come. Many had many. And anyway, so long story, I came back. I wanted to go into the big hall, and then as I was about to go into the big hall, on the left, there were two men standing there. You wouldn't believe they're standing there. Both of them lit the cigarette, and they're crying and smoking. Now, nothing wrong. Here's the thing, this picture. I'm just standing there. And as I was about to go in, they call me. They say, Dumni, which means reverend to pastor, whatever. Dumni! It goes like that. I can try and picture that, but maybe you will cry if I cry. But anyway, it's just this God moment, and I'm like, oh, God, what do I do now? The two men just, Lord, you must help me. You know, moments like that. I mean, people think you just get the voice of God just like, but you need to stand there for a moment. You need to rely upon God. It's not like suddenly he would speak to you, but sometimes you're just there. Okay, God, download, quicker, what do I need to do, Lord? And I'm standing there, and I'm like, God, do we execute now? No, just stand there, just, anyway. So I said to them, listen, guys, what's wrong? No, you don't want to know, you don't want to know. So, and then he carries on, and I say, where do we start? They say, no, I don't know where to start. It's just, everything is just a mess. And I realized God is speaking to me. that they've been confronted with the presence of God, but they do not know how to handle that. There's too much. Sometimes our lives are in such a mess when we confront God's, when confronted with God's presence, that we do not know where to start God, but because the fullness of God would come. You don't just see yourself. You see all the stuff that you were messing around with. And you're like, God, if I touch that, then it's that, and it's that, and it's that. Where do we start? I mean, that's a proper encounter with God. Anyway, long story short, so we slipped into a room at the back there. I said, can I lead you to Christ? Can you start today? Which we did. Now listen to me here. You need to pay attention. This wasn't Yaku leading them to Christ. I want to make a point here. I just happened to be, and somebody once said, you know, when God leads us into that place where he uses us, it's just a play. We happen to be in the last part of the play. I happened to be there for the last minute. But before that, over the whole weekend, somebody had to prepare for worship and take them into that place. Somebody had to pray. Somebody had to stay behind. The battle wasn't won by one man. The battle was won by a lot of us that said, we'll create an us moment. We're going to go to war. We might not be able to fight with this, but I can fight with this. And when we come together, it's a collective moment of us. When God says, hey, I've listened to his prayer. I've listened to his prayer. I've used his worship. I've used this and I've used this, and I allowed him to encounter me. And you know what? Paul said, I cannot take credit for any of that. And I knew I was just at a privileged place of just leading that person into that place. And I wish I can do that more. Sometimes God doesn't allow me. Sometimes God would just say, sow the seed and walk away. And somebody will alongside come alongside. See, we all share alike in the spoil. This is what I want to say to you this morning. You be encouraged this morning. Whether you stayed behind, whether you prayed, whether you worshiped, we all share alike in the spoil. We're not here this morning to say it's my disciples, it's mine. I cannot claim any of that, but we can say this morning it was all worth it.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.